This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, August 30th. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air on this last Monday of August as summer is winding down. I'm John Morales. Thank you for joining us as we try to bring the light of Christ to start your morning every day here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Glenn is enjoying a much-deserved day off. Now, we continue to pray for all the people of Louisiana and that entire area who are affected by the Category 4 Hurricane Ida, one of the most powerful storms ever to hit the U.S. that made landfall on Sunday on the 16th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Yesterday, this extremely dangerous Hurricane Ida packed maximum sustained winds of 150 miles per hour at landfall and has knocked out power to over a million people, including 100% of the city of New Orleans. Now, Ida has been downgraded to a tropical storm. And we continue to pray for all the people waiting to be rescued in their homes. Again, in case you haven't heard, I want to remind you of our latest book promotion here on Relevant Radio. What does a Catholic priest know about marriage? Well, it all depends on the priest. For more than 20 years, our very own Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, has ministered to countless couples throughout the various seasons of their relationships, including before, during, and even long after they get married. This is something that I know firsthand because it was Father Rocky who told me when I wasn't sure about marriage at one point. He said to me with my then girlfriend, Cindy, "John, I don't usually say this, but just buy her a ring." Sure enough, a year and a half later, Father Rocky would share the first of four rules of his marriage insurance advice. It hadn't developed to the current 12 rules. He shared it from the pulpit on our wedding day at St. Mary the Angels in Chicago, and the rest is history. So many couples that have shared with Father Rocky over the years their problems and their successes. Father Rocky has seen what works and what doesn't, and he wants to share the keys to success with you in his book. And this is a book that I strongly recommend. It's called Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. It's absolutely free, no shipping or handling, but there's a catch. It's available only for a limited time. You can get your free book at relevantradio.com/marriage. We begin each hour, as we do every day, in prayer, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit whenever we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Coming up momentarily, Professor of Theology Annabelle Mosley will join us to talk about five ways that we can honor the saints and devotions for September in your life and home. In fact, we also have another really outstanding guest that's going to be joining us a little bit later in the show, Vicente de Real, the founder and executive director of Iscali. He'll be with us to talk about his organization and all the work that they're doing, empowering young Latinos with high-quality faith formation. A little bit later, Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar will join us to discuss practical ways that parents can get involved with their kids' religious education and not just drop them off on Sunday mornings for religious ed. We'll also bring you a new episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 18:20. Jesus said to his disciples, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that he is with us if we come to him united in prayer. Christ is present among us in many different ways. He's present in the Mass, in the sacraments, in the priest, in the Word of God, and whenever we gather for prayer. That's why the Lord hears our prayers here on Relevant Radio when we unite in prayer across the network, when we pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy, the Family Rosary Across America. Christ is with us. Pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, incredibly, we're only 2 days away from September, a month filled with beautiful feast days dedicated to Our Lady and to great saints who learned from her example in the ways that they shaped their own lives. Marking the days of this month with meaningful ways to celebrate and honor our Blessed Mother and very inspiring saints of September will make the start of the new school year and work year so much more satisfying. Let's take a look at the calendars right now and mark them down. Our next guest, Annabelle Mosley, will discuss with us 5 ways to honor saints and devotions of September in your life and home. Annabelle is an award-winning American poet, inventor of a new poetic form, the Mere Sonnet. She's also a professor of theology and the author of 11 books, including Sacred Braille, The Rosary as Masterpiece Through Art, Poetry, and Reflections. Good morning, Annabelle. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's always good to be with you.
Oh, good morning, John. It's great to be with you.
Annabelle, this month of September is devoted to the 7 sorrows of Mary. Can you tell us a little bit about this devotion to our Blessed Mother, the Mater Dolorosa, our Suffering Mother?
I'm honored to tell you about it. It's one of my favorite devotions. And it's September 15th. We can mark our calendars now. And the whole month is devoted to it as well. September 15th is the actual feast day. But the whole month, we can really spend more time drawing closer to the 7 sorrows of Mary. We can really journey with her. In fact, there's even these wonderful devotions online that you can find where you can pray the 7 sorrows rosary. You can pray, I love the 7 sorrows devotion. It's you pray each of the 7 sorrows of Mary. You're asked to, in the devotion, meditate on each one of the 7 sorrows of Mary, and then follow that with one Hail Mary. If you really get deep into the contemplation, maybe 15 minutes, or you could also kind of do a quicker version, and it's so rewarding for your life, because it's amazing how when we're trying to console Our Lady, when we're trying to get closer to her sorrow, just to draw near, a lot of our sorrows are comforted. There's nothing that we're going through that can't be comforted by drawing more close to Mary's sorrow. I actually designed my own. If you were to go to YouTube and you entered in Tour Guide of Wonder, I have my very own. I just put up a 7 sorrows devotion to Our Lady. It's got art. It's got the Hail Marys already in there so you can pray along. And it also has a reflection for each of her sorrows. The whole thing will take you, maybe 14 minutes, and you'll feel much closer. But for every day of September to remember her sorrows, I think it would be really a wonderful way to alleviate some of the fears, some of the stress that we're all going through. She's going to take care of that as we draw near to her.
It sounds like a beautiful way to honor our Blessed Mother and meditate on these 7 sorrows. Let me just share real quickly what they are. The prophecy of Simeon, the flight into Egypt, the loss of the child Jesus in the temple, Jesus and Mary meet on the way to Calvary, the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Jesus is laid in Mary's arms and the burial of Jesus. So we pray and we meditate on the sorrows of our Blessed Mother with this beautiful devotion, Annabelle.
Absolutely. And to draw near, we all love that beautiful statue, the Pietà, the sculpture by Michelangelo. That's one of Mary's 7 sorrows. That might be why it moves us so much. I think that's considered basically the most popular or famous work of art history of all time, Michelangelo's Pietà. And it's no wonder. It's no wonder. It's one of Mary's 7 sorrows.
Absolutely. I can't help but think of that scene as depicted by Mel Gibson in The Passion of the Christ with our Lord in his mother's arms. Just powerful image.
It really is so powerful. It is. In that thing that I made online, at YouTube, if you go to Tour Guide of Wonder, it's my channel, or even on my website, I have a website, Tour Guide of Wonder. You can find the Seven Sorrows. I chose all the art, like the Pietà, really famous Catholic works of art, and it just opens our hearts. That's what I love about it. This is designed to open our hearts, or if our hearts are suffering, or we're going through a rough time. It's amazing what just drawing near our mother and her Immaculate Heart in her sorrows, it will take the burden off of us. It will do it every time.
So the entire month is dedicated to the Seven Sorrows of Mary, but we have a feast day in honor of our Blessed Mother's birthday coming up on September 8th. This should be a pretty easy one to celebrate.
It sure would. You know, and it's amazing to me. I just love the juxtaposition of how it's the month of Our Lady's sorrows, and yet we also have Our Lady's birthday in the same month, which is so joyful. And, you know, there's nothing like a birthday party, right, to bring some fun into the week, especially September 8th. We're just starting to get back into the, you know, summer vacations are over and work and school are starting in. And yet, even if things are busy, even if we don't have time to make a cake, which would be great if we do, we could involve the kids in it, just pick up a cake at the store, add some candles, and after dinner, gather the family together to sing happy birthday to our Blessed Mother. It's so much fun. And really, once you do it one year, the kids and even the young at heart in your family, even if it's a grandparent, they'll be asking for that. Let's do that again. Let's do that again this September.
I think that the beautiful part of this type of celebration with an actual birthday cake, it makes our Blessed Mother so human, so real. I mean, she really did have a birthday. She walked among us at one time.
It's beautiful. That's so well said. You're right. It does. It reminds us that she's just, you know, she's a human being. Although she's our queen, we can really relate to her, and especially the children. Wow, Mary has a birthday. They never forget it.
Now, a little later in the month, of course, we celebrate the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of Mary on the 15th, which we talked about here because we're also celebrating the whole month as well.
That's right.
On the 21st, we have the Feast of St. Matthew, who before he was an apostle, he was a tax collector and quite a sinner. How can we celebrate the feast day of St. Matthew?
It's time for another party, John. Isn't it great? Here we are in the month of sorrows, and we're going to have another party. So before St. Matthew was an apostle, just like you said, he was Levi, the famous sinner, the tax collector. And yet he's remembered for getting up from his booth, his tax booth, immediately once Jesus called him to follow him. In fact, that's another great work of art history. It's the calling of St. Matthew. I teach art history too, so I love bringing it up. But the calling of St. Matthew, and it's by Caravaggio. And you know, it's incredible how he gave everything up the second Jesus called him, and he gave up his money. But there's a really sweet and endearing thing he did. Just as soon as he decided to leave all his wealth behind, all his money, he decided to throw a party for Jesus. The exact scripture is, Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi hosted a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And again, you just brought up that beautiful point before, John, of how it makes these wonderful, you know, all the saints and even Our Lady, to remember that they are human like we are. Wow, he decided to follow Jesus, and then he immediately plans a party. I just love St. Matthew for that. And it's also very deep. You know, on the surface, it's so sweet and endearing, but it's pretty deep to think about how the greatness of God is worth celebrating, how giving everything up for making sacrifices is actually worth celebrating, worth a party. So I think if we mark our calendars for September 21st to say, all right, it's St. Matthew's feast day, let's throw a party. Even if we have to keep it simple, if things are busy, let's make one of our family's favorite meals, a special dessert. Maybe invite someone over who needs a little cheering up. We could go around the table and say what we're all thankful for, you know? So I just love this idea of throwing a party for God.
Absolutely. And a couple of days later, Annabelle, on September 23rd is the feast of St. Pius of Petrachina, better known as Padre Pio, the patron saint of civil defense, volunteers, adolescents, and stress relief. How can we remember Padre Pio on this day?
My favorite quote by St. Padre Pio is, pray, hope, and don't worry. Pray, hope, and don't worry. So if we take that advice today, and if we mark our calendar for September 23rd as sort of this goal, how could we follow that advice more deeply? It seems so simple on the surface. Well, if we pray, we're going to have hope. because he says, pray, hope, and don't worry. And if we hope, then we really won't be as worried. So how do we do that? How do we cultivate more hope? We can go to Mass. That's the main way to do it. Go to Mass, pray the rosary. Padre Pio loved the rosary. And what is he even more famous for, of course? Being an amazing confessor. He spends so much time in the confessional. Why don't we go to confession in honor of St. Padre Pio? Unlike what sometimes, you know, oh, confession is going to make me stressed out. I'm going to be worried about going. I'm going to be, you know, a little nervous. It's so amazing how it's the opposite. To just go to confession, we rid ourselves. We get rid of the anxiety. Things we didn't even realize we were carrying will leave us when we emerge from confession. We'll be rid of the anxiety, the depression, that lack of hope that sort of wears on us from just being in the world, working hard. Confession gets rid of worries as our souls become unburdened and therefore more joyful. So really, what better way for self-improvement? What better way? We don't need to do too much more than follow St. Pio's advice. Pray, hope, don't worry. Go to Mass, pray the rosary, get to confession and get those worries off of our backs.
Excellent. Outstanding. Annabelle, towards the end of the month, on September 29th, we have the big feast of the archangels, St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. It's important to remember these three angels, these archangels. How can we commemorate each one of them?
Okay, so since St. Michael is the archangel of protection, it's such a great idea to get a statue or an icon or an image of him for protection in the home. There's so many readily found at every price range, really. Very simple. We could even take a little prayer card we have of St. Michael and just put it in a frame, put it in a place of honor, and remember to pray the St. Michael, the archangel prayer, which is so powerful. St. Gabriel is, of course, the messenger archangel who brought the beautiful news to our Lady and Queen Mary. And so it's a great day to send a message of announcement, to proclaim good news in the life of someone we love. We could send a faith-filled text message that says, I love you, you're wonderful, you know, I'm praying for you, God loves you, or a card sent to someone who needs a boost. Even, you know, just holding the door to a stranger, and when we do it, just saying, God bless you. You know, so there's countless ways we can bring good news to others, like the angel Gabriel. And then for Saint Raphael, well, he's the archangel of healing. So it's a great day to pray for the sick, send a get well card or have a Mass card sent for someone who's ill. And there's even Saint Raphael oil if you go online, saintraphaeloil.com. I've done this for people I love who are sick. You can actually get a blessed holy oil, blessed by priests, that you can have sent to someone who's sick or suffering. And it's a really wonderful apostolate. So again, for St. Raphael, think of those who are in need of healing and send them some get well wishes.
Absolutely. And every time that we pray the Hail Mary prayer, we are repeating this angelical salutation, prayer of St. Gabriel the Archangel. It's really important to have that connection, that those are the words of the angel Gabriel to our Blessed Mother when we pray the Hail Mary.
That's right. Founded in Scripture, right there in our prayer. It's so beautiful.
A perfect segue into one final saint that I absolutely love, the scripture scholar, St. Jerome. We celebrate this doctor of the church at the end of the month, at September 30th, who famously said, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. How can St. Jerome encourage us to open up the Bible and actually spend some time reading it?
Well, I think one of the things is that we notice that when we read the Bible, our lives improve. So even if, you know, we all struggle with how to balance everything we have to do for the family, for work, even if we just keep the goal small in the beginning, and of course there's wonderful tools online like the Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz, and there's beautiful things. But even if just we say, okay, we're going to read 5 minutes. We're going to open up scripture. There's two ways I like. One is that kind of fun. You pray to the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, lead me. Open up the Bible, see what word God has for you today. It's all the Bible. It's all going to be great. What might be being called today? The other one I love is praying with the children. So if you get a children's Bible, you know, preferably with pictures, and you pray with the children every day, it's one quick story. I always find when I'm reading it to my children, I get an insight. That I, you know, even in the children's Bible, I'll say, wow, that's incredible how beautifully that's put, and I can apply it to my life. So both of those ways are great.
One final word of encouragement here in this upcoming month of September, this month dedicated to the seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother.
I would say it's the right time to prepare our hearts for Jesus and Mary, to consecrate ourselves. I offer at tourguideofwonder.com a consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. If you go to Tour Guide of Wonder, click on the red button, you could join a consecration. There'll be prayers sent to your inbox every day, only 9 to 14 minutes, and it'll be a way to get closer to Jesus' heart and Mary's too. We consecrate ourselves to Mary as well.
I love it. Annabelle, thank you so much for your perspective and sharing your insights on this upcoming month and how we can get closer to our Blessed Mother and all these great saints here in September. Thanks so much, Annabelle.
Thanks so much, John.
Many blessings to you. Annabelle Mosley, award-winning American poet and the author of Sacred Braille, The Rosary as Masterpiece Through Art, Poetry, and Reflections. For much more, you can also go to annabellemosley.com. We're going to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Vicente Del Real, the founder and executive director of Iscali, will tell us about his organization that empowers young Latinos with high-quality faith formation, enabling them to become transformative leaders. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this. Time out.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
28 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Coming up here on Morning Air, next half hour, Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar will join us to discuss some practical ways that parents can get involved with their kids' religious education, and we'll have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Now, over the next three decades, the number of third-generation Latinos will triple, and the number of second-generation Latinos will double. Latino youth are shaping every facet of life in the United States, including the Catholic Church, where 40 to 50% of the faithful are Latino. Hispanic young people are the present and the future of the Catholic Church in the United States. Our next guest, Vicente Del Real, is with us to talk about how he has responded to this call with his nonprofit organization, Iscali, which empowers young Latinos with high-quality faith formation, enabling them to become transformative leaders. Vicente is executive director and founder of Iscali. He's a Romero scholar at Catholic Theological Union, where he's working towards his master's in pastoral arts. Good morning, Vicente. Welcome to Morning Air. It's good to be with you again, this time in English.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Good to hear your voice once again.
It's great to be here.
Vicente, tell us about Iscali. What does Iscali mean?
Well, about 500 years ago, you know, Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to Juan Diego and actually spoke to him in his native language, Nahuatl. So Iscali is a word in the native language that Our Lady of Guadalupe spoke to Juan Diego that means to grow. So we gave the meaning to grow in Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit.
Outstanding. And what inspired you to take that Nahuatl name and found Iscali?
Well, Our Lady of Guadalupe is really our inspiration, you know. When she met Juan Diego, she said, the first question she asked him was, where are you going? And then she entrusted him to build the church. And I feel that we should be asking the young people that are leaving the church today the same question. Where are you going? And we should also entrust young Latinos to build up the church. You know, when Juan Diego felt that he was not worthy of the call, he begged her to send someone else, you know. And Our Lady Guadalupe responded, it must be you. So, you know, really, we feel that Our Lady Guadalupe is also telling us today, you know, it must be you. You know, thousands, millions of Latinos leave the church. You know, Yes, between 2010, 2015, about 14 million Latinos left the church. And we feel that Our Lady of Guadalupe is calling us to do something about it and to build up the church.
Vicente, those are staggering numbers that you just share with us. 14 million Latinos leaving the Catholic Church. Where are they going, and why are they leaving the church?
Well, I feel that they are leaving for different reasons, and they are also going to different places. Most of them are becoming nuns. It's not that they are becoming or leaving to other faiths. I'm pretty sure that's the case to some of them, but most of them are just becoming nuns, you know, non-practitioners. And I think one of the reasons that, you know, young Latinos have or are leaving the churches because we lack programming for them, you know. A lot of them learn how to pray the prayers in Spanish, but when it comes to articulating the faith, they articulate the faith in English. And I feel the church hasn't created a space for them to feel welcome and really programming that speaks to the realities, just like Our Lady of Guadalupe spoke to Juan Diego with his whole, you know, using symbols that were familiar to him, his own language. I feel that we also have a responsibility to create Catholic programming that responds to the specific needs of Latinos that are U.S. born.
Vicente, in your opinion, how different are some of these needs of these U.S. born Latinos? Because according to all the surveys in recent years, there was a big conference a few years ago, the Quinto Encuentro, that showed that 40 to 50% of the American church is Latino. So is the church prepared to serve this huge community?
You know what? In my opinion, and in what I see, I think the church, when the church tried to focus on serving Latinos, they tried to focus on serving the immigrant, right? The person that came that speaks Spanish. So we usually talk about, when we talk about Hispanic ministry, we talk about a ministry in Spanish. However, 94% of young Latinos are U.S. born. And English is actually, for most of them, is their first language. So I do feel there is a huge difference. You know, they often tell me, I'm not white enough for the programs offered in my church. I don't feel home, but I'm not Mexican enough to connect to the faith in the way that my mom or my abuelita does, you know. They're kind of in the middle. And at Izcalli, that's who we serve. You know, we serve U.S. born Latinos. And we try to create a space for them to speak Spanglish or English or Spanish as needed. You know, just a space for them to feel home. Because the church is home for them.
And Vicente, we're talking about young Latinos, and this is a huge percentage that you're sharing with us. 94% of young Latinos in our country are born here. These are Latinos that may speak some Spanish. They speak it at home with their parents, with their abuelita. But when they're out with their friends, they speak English. So they think in English, and they probably feel more comfortable praying in English.
Yeah, I mean, some of them still will, they say that the one thing that you always do in your mother's language is praying and counting. But when it comes to articulating the faith, they prefer to articulate the faith in English because they went to school, received formation probably in English. What inspired me to kind of start Izcalli, you know, of course, Our Lady of Guadalupe, but in my parish, we had a young adult group that only served immigrants. And one time I said, you know, we should start making announcements in English because I saw a lot of young people in the parish that were not attractive to the only Spanish group. And that's how Izcalli was inspired, you know, kind of to create a space to where, you know, first generation Latinos, U.S. born Latinos will feel welcome. They can come and participate, you know. And there's a huge need, you know. there's a huge need. They, you know, Latinos without a doubt are the future of the church. And, you know, they deserve to be invested in. They deserve to be paid attention to. They deserve to, you know, they deserve that we create programs for them. And honestly, you know, I feel that through the years, I know that young Latinos face many challenges, but I also feel that, you know, Our Lady Guadalupe loves them very much, and she's calling us to serve them. So we are trying to do whatever we can, John.
Absolutely. We're joined by Vicente Del Real from the Chicago area, the founder and executive director of Escali. Vicente, what type of activities, what type of programs does Escali offer to these young Latinos?
We have a very holistic approach, but really the heart of our ministry is we have a very successful retreat program. You know, you experience different retreats throughout five years. So the first one, for example, is what we call the initiation retreat. And that will be really a faith awakening retreat, you know, a way to present the faith to young people in a way that they can connect to. We create a space where they can have a personal and a deep encounter with God. Then after they go to this one retreat, we invite them to join a small discipleship community. These communities meet every week, and this is a space for them to grow in the faith, to share the faith with other young people, encourage each other, walk together. And then every year, you know, so the second retreat after a year is a discipleship retreat, when they understand in a deeper way what does it mean to be a disciple and your own context. Then after the third year, they leave the leadership retreat. So we have this retreat program where we, you know, little by little, teach them the faith over 5 years. But we also have a mentorship program, for example, for them. You know, 80% of Latinos that register to college will never graduate.
Wow.
80% of them.
Wow.
So we lose 80% of them. So we have a mentorship program where we match first-generation Latinos to a Latino professional that serves as a mentor through the college years. Because we feel that as a church, we have a responsibility to do something about that statistic. And we also have a scholarship program that accompanies the mentorship program to those who are most in need. Because we know that God wants these young people to reach their full potential. And, you know, it is our homework to help them. So we have the faith-based programming that is really at the heart of Escali, but we also feel responsibility to ensure that our young people go to school and stay in school.
Vicente, how is your program at Escali helping young people? How are they reacting? Can you share maybe some testimonies that you've seen of people who have had their lives changed and returned fervently back to the Lord?
Well, I can tell you that we serve 150 young Latinos every week. Out of those 150, about 70 of them are in a leadership position, you know. So they are very involved in their local parish, you know. We try to encourage all of our communities to go to Mass together. So I can tell you that we're having a very, very good response. But let me show you just some statistics. You know, we take surveys to everybody that is in our programming, but especially in our retreat programming, because it's a very concrete moment. So we want to know how effective we are. And, you know, 90% of our participants after attending the retreat feel that the Escali retreat gave him a deep and a personal experience of God. 85% of them recognize that they have unhealthy habits or addictions. They want to make decisions to better their lives. 95% of them feel that they live with the intention of healing relationships with family and friends. And 90% of them feel a stronger connection to the Catholic Church after the retreat. So, you know, some numbers that, you know, give you an idea of how we are, you know, impacting not only their personal life, but also connecting them to the Catholic Church.
Well, Vicente, I appreciate you taking the time to share with us the great work that's being done to touch so many young Latino lives. Really appreciate it. Where can our listeners go for more information on Escali?
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. We would love your support. It's www.iskai.org. Iskali.org. Thank you for this opportunity to chair our ministry, and God bless you.
Great. God bless you, too. Vicente de Leal, Executive Director and Founder of Iskali. We need to take a break. When we come back, Omar Aguilar, the Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas, will share some practical ways that parents can get involved with their kids' religious education. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
All my friends, you're the low rider.
47 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. It's always a blessing to be with you to start the week here on a Monday morning. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Before we get to our next guest, I just want to take a moment to remind you again, in case you haven't heard, and you probably have, but just a little friendly reminder about this outstanding book promotion that we've got going on here at Relevant Radio. Father Rocky, who has so much experience, and we're talking about our very own Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky has ministered to so many couples over the years, over 20 plus years. He's talked to them before they get married, during the time they're about to get married, and even many years afterwards with spiritual direction for their marriages. And this is something that I definitely know of firsthand. In fact, my wife Cindy and I went to Father Rocky for spiritual direction before we got married. I was a little bit on the rocks. I wasn't sure, on the fence, I should say. I wasn't sure if I wanted to get married at the time. I just wasn't sure if God was calling me to marriage. And sure enough, Father Rocky said to me, hey, just buy her a ring, John, buy her a ring. And sure enough, I listened to Father Rocky. And a little bit later, Father Rocky would be sharing the first four rules of his marriage insurance advice from the pulpit on our wedding day. So many couples have shared with Father Rocky, and this book that I'm talking about is absolutely outstanding. He has so many great insights, practical tips. It's called Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. It's totally free. There's no shipping or handling, but there is a catch. It's available for only a limited time. You can get your free book. All you have to do is go to relevantradio.com/marriage. Now, with the new year of faith formation programs starting right about now, I want to just take a moment to look into this and how we all can participate in it and what the church and primarily the parents' responsibilities are. Kids are going back to school here in late August, early September. They're going back to religious education too. The sad reality is that many are leaving the church after receiving confirmation in eighth grade, after high school or college. How can we keep our kids Catholic? What can parents do early on? Now, joining us to talk about practical ways for parents to get involved with their kids' religious education is Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar, the Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas. Omar is also the host of several Catholic and pro-life programs on Spanish radio and television, and the author of the book Latinos Católicos en los Estados Unidos. Good morning, Omar. Welcome back to the show. It's always good to be with you.
Happy Monday, John. It's great to be back with you.
Happy Monday to you. Omar, let's talk about these faith formation classes, also known as catechism classes or CCD. Can you give us your take on exactly what they are for parents that maybe aren't too familiar with them?
So first and foremost, I would like to start off by saying that the faith formation of our kids, of our families, of our children is a lifelong process. It's not something that you can take and do in a brief period of time, let's say 2 years or 4 years. So CCD, faith formation, catechesis classes that we do in the church, in the parish, it's primarily to support and work together with the parents so the kids can learn and grow in their faith, in their relationship with Jesus, in their understanding of the sacramental life and why it is important. So the classes are just that. Just classes. It's just a brief period of time. If you think about it, kids come to classes, to CCD, to religious classes from September, highly likely to probably the end of May in most cases. And they come at the most once every month. So if you put all the hours together, it's a very short period of time that they're here in the parish, they're here in the community. So that's why CCD or faith formation classes are just part of the overall program, which is for every family, for every kid, for every person to go to heaven, to save their souls. And so in this, we all work together. We, as a parish, as the church, do our part. But first and foremost, it's a duty, it's a responsibility that starts off at house, at home, while the parents, you know, share their faith, live out their faith, become the first witness to their own children.
Omar, obviously it's important to engage the parents who are the primary catechists of their children. What are a few strategies to get them more involved so that they just don't drop the kids off on Sunday morning and then take off, perhaps not even go to Mass themselves?
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that we notice and we've been learning throughout the years is the parents want to learn as well. Parents want to learn about their faith. They want to learn why it is important for their kids to receive the sacraments. And I always tell this to the parents. The day that we're getting ready to do First Communion or do confirmation, I always start off by saying thank you to the parents because they made a few promises when they baptized their child. And one of those promises was that I'm going to teach their faith. I'm going to pass the faith along to my kids. And indeed, by bringing them to receive the sacraments, the First Communion of the confirmation, they're ready for fulfilling and living up that promise. And so parents have the desire in their hearts, even if they don't know it. So one of the things that we can do as a church, as a community, is to offer them a space, offer them a possibility, classes, perhaps, instead of, like you were just saying, which is so true in so many cases, instead of just coming to the church and dropping off the kid and driving away, we always make sure that they were invited. And then, for instance, at Mary Immaculate, what we do is, for First Communion classes, the classes are for the parents and the kids. They come to class together. Some of the classes, we take the parents away and take them into another classroom and do a particular class for parents. But for the most part, everything that we try to do it as a family. And that's a good way to engage them, to make them feel part of what they, or something that which they already are part of it, the faith and the learning process and the growing of their own children.
Omar, as a director of religious education, have you had to deal with the experience ever of parents that don't agree with certain church teachings, like the obligation to attend Mass on Sunday or some other church teaching that they just don't agree? How do you deal with that?
Well, yes, definitely. I mean, and that's just one case, but there's many, many other more extreme cases where, you know, kids come to the class, to CCD, to faith formation, and they're learning about, for instance, the responsibility and how dangerous it is not to go to Mass on Sunday. And once they go back to home, the parents come to us and yeah, they're not very happy to learn or to be reminded that, you know, there's certain things, there's certain guidelines, there's certain commandments, there's a certain way that we ought to be behaving because we believe in Christ, because we believe in Holy Catholic Church. And it is a challenge, but obviously we always try it. We always try to be careful of the way that we say things. We always try to be gentle, to be very friendly, to be open. But at the same time, you know, the truth is the truth, and we just can't hide it. Sometimes it's like, we're like, I'm so sorry, Mom, I'm so sorry, but the truth, this is the truth of our faith. And we are called to be prophets, to shout out the truth, even if it's something inconvenient.
Omar, here in Chicago, kids get confirmed in eighth grade, and then oftentimes we never see them again. What are some ways to keep them engaged in the faith so they don't graduate from church?
Yeah, and that's the key word, John, that most of us see confirmation as the go-away party. Like, I'm done with this. And instead of that, you know, the way that we try to present it is more like it's the welcoming party. Now you're part of the church. Now you're part of the militant church. Now you're active. Which way are you gonna be engaged in your faith? And one of the things is, for instance, start offering them youth ministry classes, young adults, ways that they can become part of the parish, part of the community. That's something that right now we're just kickstarting again because of the, you know, the last 18 months, the pandemic, everything was shut down, everything was canceled. So for us in our particular parish, that's what we're trying to do, restart all of our youth programs, all of our young adults programs. So that way kids, once they go through confirmation, know where to go. They're welcome. And once again, confirmation is the welcoming party, not the go away party.
Finally, as we've just run out of time, Omar, can you give us some final advice for parents on how to get the most out of their CCD for their children?
Be engaged with it. Talk to your kids if you can. Be present in the classes. You know, this is something that starts off at home and ends up at home. You know, us at the church, we're blessed and we're privileged to have your kids with us an hour and 50 minutes every weekend, if it's possible. But at the end of the day, this is a shared responsibility, and parents need to be engaged with it. And foremost and most important, they need to be living out their faith. Be witness to your own kids. You know, when we talk about Christ, when we talk about the sacraments, kids need to see it first and foremost at home.
Absolutely. The faith formation begins at home. I appreciate your time, Omar. Thanks so much for these practical pieces of advice from you this morning.
Oh, thank you, John. It was a pleasure.
Many blessings to you. Omar Aguilar, Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas. And now it's time for another Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Value of a Good Name. Henry Heinz, born in 1844 to German immigrants in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, helped support his family as a teenager by growing and selling vegetables in the family garden. After graduating from college and getting married, he started a business selling horseradish. In 1875, a national financial collapse drove the young company into bankruptcy. Despite the legal freedom bankruptcy gave him, Heinz regarded each of the company's outstanding debts as a moral obligation and personally paid back every penny. Heinz went on to found the H.J. Heinz Company with its 57 varieties and became a leading American businessman. A devout Christian, he was known for the generous treatment of his employees and his generosity to Christian causes. Throughout his life, Heinz conducted his business and personal dealings with the same integrity that led him to pay back hundreds of thousands of dollars he technically did not owe. He began his will with these words, "I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior." Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold.
And our thanks to Glenn, who will be back with us tomorrow. Now, coming up in the next hour, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, will discuss John Lynch's induction into the NFL Hall of Fame, who thanked his parents for handing on the Catholic faith to him. And former NBA referee Deacon Steve Javi continues his inspirational and powerful story from the hardwood to the diaconate. Don't change that dial. If you love sports and your Catholic faith, you've come to the right place. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.